You're listening to the Men of Honor podcast, making a difference in the lives of men so they can make a difference in their community. You can listen to all previous episodes at menofhonor.club.
In Matthew 13:22, it says, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wrath choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." The stress of work in a man's life can become overwhelming. In our generation, the world has done a really good job of making sure that we focus on the wants in life and not the needs. And the Aussie dream has become the Aussie nightmare. With personal debt at its highest level in recorded history, it's no wonder men are taking antidepressants and drinking and seeking anything that will numb the pain. The Christian man is being affected more than most. His time's being pulled from every direction: work, wife, kids, hobbies, the church. And the effects are starting to show in God's kingdom, because the Christian man is constantly dropping the spiritual side of life in exchange for the worldly side. And this is the exact opposite of what Jesus calls us to do. In Matthew 16:24-26, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?'" The Christian man is slowly but surely, under the pressure of our consumer-driven world, exchanged his soul for the gains of the world, and he's dying a slow death. Instead of focusing on God and his kingdom, we've replaced his kingdom for our kingdom. We've replaced the capital K kingdom from our heavenly Father for our worldly small k kingdom. When we focus on the material, we lose focus on the spiritual. We lose sight of God and our families and the lost. So with this current trend, it won't take long for Christianity to be overrun by false teachings, radical religions, and complacency, and we're seeing it already. We have to stop letting our work and the love of money and material things get in the way of our relationship with God. In the age of technology, men have become slaves to the office, with the capability of being reached 24 hours a day, 7 days a week because of mobile devices. We've set ourselves up to become horrible time managers. Men are trying to constantly fit things into the schedule, and slowly their time with God is being pushed to the side. And it's causing a snowball effect. We buy more, so we need to work more. And we work more, so we have less time. And we replace God's time with the world's time, and so on and so on. Therefore, the snowball just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Martin Luther once said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer." If you feel you have so much business to do that you can't spend any time with God, then you're wrong. We should know better. If you want your business to go well and you want more time to do the things you need to do, you've got to spend all the time you can with God. Don't you think that if you've got him as your business partner, your business is going to go well? And don't stop at letting him just be your business partner. Make him your boss. And you don't have to give in to the pressures of the world. Never let the hurriedness of your job affect your time with God. The proverbial snowball is going to stop once that time with God is re-established. As you move around your place of work this week, talking to co-workers or sitting in meetings, take a moment to look and listen to the people around you. In about 2 minutes, I could almost guarantee you'll be able to tell who's an intentionally living Christian and who isn't. You can tell by their body language when some kind of coarse joking is done, or when someone uses foul language and they walk away, or sometimes just when they speak up for the faith they believe in. I'm not asking you to lay down judgment on what you observe in your workplace. I mean, just because someone cusses or tells a dirty joke doesn't mean he isn't a Christian. Just because someone doesn't make a scene and walk away from a dirty joke doesn't mean he's not a Christian either. But what I want you to do is notice how this might be a bad testimony for our faith. They've lowered the standard that God's given through his word. So I want you to look at it and ask, do I look like that? So turn the tables now. If someone were looking at you to determine if you were intentionally living Christian in your workplace, would they see your body language when someone told a dirty joke? Would he see you walk away when someone was using foul language? Or better yet, would he see you defend your faith or witness to someone who's in need? Is your behavior at work, your on-the-job training, giving a good or bad testimony to the Christian faith? As Christian men in the workforce today, we should be giving godly on-the-job training in everything we do. People are watching you, whether you know it or not. They look to see how you take complaints from a customer. They look to see how you deal with a rude customer or a co-worker. They look to see if what you say is what you mean. So take Matthew 5:37 to heart. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Anything beyond this is of evil. When a Christian man fails to set a Christian example at work, he's lost his testimony to anyone he works with. Sounds like a lot of pressure, doesn't it? Well, that's because it is. No one ever said Christianity would be easy. The Christian life isn't for sissies. For us to be living intentionally, as Christians, we have to behave the same way at work as we do in church on Sunday morning. Don't be fake, and don't put on the air of, I have the Holy Spirit joy, and you don't. You've got to be a real, honest, and transparent Christian who's under construction. What we want them to see in you is someone who is trying, daily, to follow the one who died for all. When people see that we're different, that we're non-judgmental, and that we admit that we fail, then they'll see that we're not the stereotypical Christian the world sees either. They'll see the love that only can come from a spiritual source, not a pre-manufactured love that we can sometimes generate out of our own willpower. When you and I love from the flesh, it's rightly seen as fake. We must love from the Spirit. This is a complete and real love that's felt from all those we give it to. Being a Christian in the working world isn't easy, but it's a lot harder without God working actively at your side. Remember to start with God in all you do. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. The last decade has brought about some major changes in the world economy. Greed has come to the forefront of business to a degree not seen in any other time in history. People are going to jail because of fraud and greed every single day. Billions of dollars have been swindled from hardworking people, and there seems to be no end in sight. The days of the handshake business deals are all but gone now. An industry is no longer business as usual. So what happened? Have we become a country of greed and slaves to work instead of a nation of freedom? How did we go from being the great south land of the Holy Spirit to the great south land of lies and deceit? In 1 Timothy 6:10 it says, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The deeper we fall in love with money and the material things associated with money, the more we wander from the faith. My theory is that this is what we're seeing today. Our love for money is slowly causing us to lose sight of God and the plan for salvation he's given us, which is Jesus, the one and only way to heaven, not through having all the money in the world. No amount of work or money is even going to get us close to heaven. We can't buy our way in, and we can't be good enough. But what's happening is that we've become so in love with money that we've lost sight of what's important. And in some cases, we've become dishonest when it comes to making more money. When you and I love something more than we love God, it becomes an idol. Remember the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Is money a god? Is work your god? Friends, you have to strike a balance in this part of your life. An imbalance will cause you to lose balance everywhere. Make sure that you're honest and that you do an honest day's work, of course, but don't let the love of money become your god. And don't overwork yourself because you will burn out. I'm speaking from experience. I had just had so many things on my plate and I was trying to be everything to everyone that I ended up in hospital for 3 months when my health crashed. It was a stark reminder from God that I need to put him first, not things and not work and not money. Each man will have a different way of balancing his life, and I wish I could give you a formula to help with this, but the best way I've found is to get God involved in your work, first and foremost, in daily Bible study and prayer. Let him know what you need. Once this becomes part of your life, balance will begin to happen. Be strong in your Christian faith, follow God in your work, and be honest. Exodus 20 verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." In the rat race we're in today, very few men are taking time to actually rest. I'm not talking about sleeping, I'm talking about a complete day of rest. A day when the most you do is go to church, go home, eat, and just sit on the couch without the TV or other distractions. And before you say, "Oh, that can't be done," let me ask you this. Have you ever actually tried it? Up until the 1980s, the United States had a law that wouldn't allow businesses to be open on Sunday. It was called the Blue Law. And I'm just old enough to remember a time when nothing was open on Sunday here in Australia too. So you had to be prepared for it. You had to be sure that you had petrol in the car and milk in the fridge. Families got together to have a Sunday lunch. It was peaceful and a time to enjoy a day of rest. And then we became so greedy that we had to make money on Sunday as well. And since then, life has actually become harder for most. Our country's swimming in debt, and moral decay is becoming worse every day. Since the 80s, life has become a hectic and almost unbearable rat race, to the point that the number one prescribed medicine is antidepressants. A study done by the government states the following. According to a government study, antidepressants have become the most commonly prescribed drugs in Australia. They're prescribed more than drugs to treat high blood pressure, high cholesterol, asthma, or headaches. In this study, the Centre for Disease Control and Prevention looked at 2.4 billion drugs prescribed in visits to doctors and hospitals in 2005. Of those, 118 million were for antidepressants. High blood pressure drugs were the next most common with 113 million prescriptions, but the use of antidepressants and other psychotropic drugs, those that affect the brain's chemistry, have skyrocketed over the last decade. Use of antidepressants almost tripled between 1988 and 1994, and then again between 1999 and 2000. Between 1995 and 2002, the most recent year for which statistics are available, the use of drugs has risen to 48%. You reckon that's a coincidence? I don't. Society's taken out a day of rest just so we can get even more stuff we don't need. The more stuff we think we need, the more we buy. The more we buy, the more we owe. The more we owe, the more we work. Even to the point that we work on Sunday. God commanded us to rest. It's His fourth commandment. Yet for some time now, we've disobeyed this law. Even churches are guilty of this. God rested, so why don't we? Let me give you some reasons why you need to rest. Of the entire list of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses, the only thing He told us to remember was the Sabbath, which is in Exodus 20 verse 8. Why should we remember it? Maybe because God, in His infinite wisdom, knew that someday we'd forget it. He knew we would succumb to the worldly ways and forget to rest. Jesus reminded us again that this day, the Sabbath day, was for mankind. Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." It's a time when we need to rest, to take a moment from our busy schedules and look upon the Lord just for a moment. But why is it so hard? Well, we're hard-headed for starters. We believe we can dictate how we live and how we work and how we rest. I used to say I'll sleep when I'm dead. With an attitude like that, it won't take long to get that kind of rest that you're after. Here's three reasons you should remember to rest. The body needs it. The older I get, the more I understand that my body just can't do what it used to do. Every day our bodies are growing old, some faster than others. And as we continue to work, continue to play, and continue to get caught up in what the world calls life, our days are getting shorter and our bodies are getting more tired. We aren't Superman. We need to learn to take a day off, a day of rest, a holy day, just for you and your family. It doesn't need to be a Sunday, but you need to put at least one day aside every week so your body can get refreshed. Friends, your body needs to rest. Test it out and see if God won't give you supernatural strength and supernatural time to do the things you need to do. You'll be amazed when you start honoring Him by having a day of rest and spending it focused on Him. Amazing things are going to happen. Give Him this one day when you don't do anything, but worship him and rest. Secondly, your mind needs it. Scientific studies have been done on how much a person can work before the effort starts to become a detriment to the person and the job. Study after study states that a person who doesn't take time off will actually become less intelligent, and his moral standards will drop. God knew this the moment he made creation, so he gave us the example for us to follow. By the seventh day, God had completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. God knew before people ever did that they would need a day of rest. He knew all the way back in the beginning of time that man is just dumb enough to think he doesn't need it and that he can mentally handle the things the world will throw at him. And it's no surprise then that science supports God's idea of a day of rest as well. By analysing workers' blood, scientists have seen that during the workers' efforts through the week, they recovered in one night's rest only 5/6 of the ounce of oxygen they consumed in that day's labour. Each morning found the workers 1/6 of an ounce short. This is accumulated every day so that by the end of the week, the workers' vitality was run down. Putting a day aside for God is a physiological necessity for the restoration of that 1 ounce. When a man presumes to be smarter than God, he usually pays a penalty in these ways. He has nervous breakdowns, insomnia, stress, and nervous debility. Learn to turn it off. But let me tell you, it's not easy. The first time I took a day off for myself and my family, I was freaking out. I felt guilty for taking a day off for myself, and I felt as if I was forgetting something. Then I opened the Word of God and read it aloud and make my mind focus on Him. By the end of the day, I was looking forward to the next time I was going to have a day off. It's so easy to get so busy and push God out of the picture. Thirdly, your soul needs it. Many Sunday mornings when I awake, I'm already mad at the world. I don't have any desire whatsoever to go to church. I angrily get ready and head out to the door to go to church, and after an argument with the wife or a spat with the kids, I arrive at church ready to worship God. As I walk into the church, I try to walk straight to my seat so no one will talk to me, but it never fails that someone will catch me and give me a hug or a kind word, and then it just refreshes my soul. This is the true nature of church. This is how church should be. Not that we all come mad, but it's a place to be encouraged and a place that gives rest to your soul. Having rest for your body and rest for your mind will do you no good if you don't also take time to get rest for your soul. Once again, the best example is of Jesus. And when he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, he was teaching them on the Sabbath. Even Jesus took time to go to church. Don't make your day of rest just about you. Make it about the one who led you away from slavery, the one who set you free. Spend time in fellowship with other believers and soaking in the day of worship along with the day of rest. I challenge you to try it. Just try it for your body, your mind, and your soul. Man up and learn to balance your life.
Would you like to run Men of Honor in your church or small group? To find out more, email us at menofhonor.club for a free resource pack. Men of Honor, making a difference in the lives of men so they can make a difference in their community.